312-332-3776. Don't forget here before we go to the calls as well, 332-3776. Tomorrow, we are out at Oak Forest Bowl in Oak Forest. It is supposed to be a picture-perfect 75-degree, partly sunny day, and we are broadcasting outdoors. So this is going to be fantastic. They've got volleyball courts outside. They've got an outdoor bar. You can drink ice-cold Miller Lite with us. You could win White Sox tickets. You could win one of those coolers or treasure chests that's got the Bears logo and the Miller Lite logo on the side. So come on out tomorrow. We want to see a big crowd ushering in the weekend tomorrow, 2 to 6 at Oak Forest Bowl.
I was just going to say briefly that your delivery of the new station ID, kind of like Justin Fields as a rookie, you know, there are some stumbles.
Yeah, a little stumbles, yeah. I hear Andy Dalton look good again. That's the word. Let me do it again. Take three. This is WMVP AM Chicago and WSHE HD2 Chicago.
Nailed it.
That was awesome.
Nailed it.
Sal on the north side. It's WSAL on the north side, Chicago. What's up, Sal?
WSAL indeed. Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, big White Sox fan. I just recently moved to Phoenix, Arizona, went to all spring training games, listening to you guys on the app from now on because I can't get it over there, of course. But I just really quickly wanted to touch on the trade today. Hernandez fits like a glove, no pun intended. Think about that. No long-term commitments. Have one option if needed.
Right.
He's a switch hitter. He provides power. More importantly, he gives you great defense. So, and White Sox didn't have to give up a lot. Connor Pilkington was you know, I was keeping my eye on him, but, you know, he was expandable. Real quick, Connor McKnight said that Bailey Horn was a draftee from 2018. Actually, he was drafted last year in the fifth round. But, gentlemen, have a great day. I'm really excited about this, and let's go, White Sox.
There you go. There's
I saw that Horn was also, I think he was ranked their 23rd. It ranks 23rd.
Between 21
system.
And 23, depending on the rankings. And that's the pitcher the Cubs are getting.
Right, which, you know, listen, again, is not a, it doesn't feel like a big price to pay for an arm that you anticipate is going to, you know, provide a lot for the White Sox.
For Cubs fans, one of the scouting reports I read on Horn is that he's got four pitches, that he projects as a guy possibly, he's lefty, as a back-of-the-rotation starter, and at the very least, he's a high-floor lefty arm out of the bullpen. So, look
I think
you took
I think
Ryan Tepera. What did you know about Ryan Tepera before last year when he got the fluky MVP vote in the I don't know if people know the story. He was given an MVP vote because someone wanted to vote for somebody else, and they accidentally checked Ryan Tepera's box. He checked his box on the ballot.
I didn't know anything about him. And look, I think you made the point the other day. What was Kyle Hendricks ranked in the system he came from?
Sure.
Like, there's no telling that what you're ranking in is in a particular team's minor league system, how that actually parlays to how you'll be as a major leaguer.
Amir in River Park, you're on ESPN 1000 with Waddle and Sylvie. What's up, Amir?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're great. A lot going on today.
Oh, yeah. I big-time Sox fan, not at all surprised with Rick Hahn's moves today, but I would like to see more. I agree with Sal. You know, Cesar Hernandez is going to fit like a glove, and I'm not mad about that at second base. Tepera, if I remember correctly, he's got a sub-3 ERA, good short reliever. But I think we need at least another arm. I mean, I don't know. I'm biting my nails here. I liked the comeback of Bummer last night. If we can have him keep going like that, I'm happy about it. But I still think we need another arm. And also, I just want to give a quick shout out to ESPN. I won last week. I got tickets, and they're the best tickets I've ever had to the game. So
look at
you. I'm really excited.
How did you win? Did you win on Free Ticket Friday?
Yes, I did.
All right. Now, remember, that's tomorrow. So for everybody, listen to that. That's an endorsement. Make that a promo, Joe. Amir from River Park says not only did he win on a Free Ticket Friday, which is every Friday starting at 7 a.m. with Cap and Jay Hood and continuing every hour at 45 past the hour with every show, but Amir in River Park says those were the best seats he's ever sat in. I have that all correct, right, Amir?
Except for the river. I mean, I'm driving through River Park. I don't live there, but hey, everything else, rock and roll.
There you go. What's your address? No, I'm kidding.
I'm near Andersonville.
You see,
that's what he does. Yeah. Amir. He gave out my phone. Almost gave out my phone.
No, I didn't. That
yesterday.
Wasn't your phone number. No one knew whose number I was.
We were writing
yesterday.
It down. We heard it.
I didn't give out anything. I was just saying numbers. I said 8 and a 6. I was just saying numbers.
You know, someone in the Twitch chat's going to go back to the podcast and listen to that.
Yeah, that's true. Whatever.
I know you got to find it. That's fine. Another download. George in Old Town, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Georgie?
Hey, gentlemen. Look, if Javi got traded, it would break my heart. I can understand that, you know, Rizzo and Bryant, I love them both, but, you know, it's kind of the end of the road, and you got to get what you can get to run the business. But Javi Almagro, come on. This is a guy that can be an MVP. He's been frustrated with injuries. He's been frustrated with people who aren't getting the COVID shot. We're one of 5 teams that has to go through all these protocols. There's so much more in Javi. He's the reason I watch the network, for God's sakes.
Yeah,
otherwise, and
that may be the reason why they're willing to not trade him and try to sign him to a team-friendly contract, because people come to the ballpark to watch Javi Baez play. It may not always be perfect. There may be a hole in that swing every now and again. The on-base percentage isn't what you want. There are some frustrating moments, but people pay to see Javi play.
Yeah. Look, and everyone's got their own, you know? Well, for me, out of all of them, is Rizzo. Rizzo's been my favorite. He's been here the longest. He was the first big move. They trade Cashner for Rizzo. I was at his first game. Waddle, we had an ESPN promotion on the right field rooftop back in the day when you could see into the ballpark from the right field rooftop. And I remember, like, this ESPN bigwig nationally was sitting next to me, and I was standing and cheering. And he's like, "This is a meaningless game. What are you doing, dude? You're standing and cheering." And I'm like, "Oh, this is the new guy. This is Anthony Rizzo. It's his first at bat. I'm hoping this is the first of many." You know,
was that Colin? Colin was standing next to you?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Colin was there that day, as was Mike and Mike. It was a management guy.
Oh, okay.
Airports.
It was Colin.
Backwards hat guy.
It wasn't backwards hat guy.
Oh, okay,
no, it was
right.
Not Colin Coward. It was a management guy. And I was at that game, and you fast forward and you're like, boom, it's over. Like, or at least it could be. And like Rizzo, I just feel like he's not perfect. He didn't reach the ceiling that Chris Bryant hit. He may not have the flair that Javi Baez has, but he was the steady, captain-y player.
Good work.
You could always count on that team.
I've always thought he was the most consistent. His highs were never the highest, but he never got as low as the other guys. And again, what did we always say about Rizzo at the end of the year? And obviously it changed last year with the shortened COVID season. It was like, Rizzo's going to hit you 27 to 30 bombs. He's going to drive in 85. He's going to hit 275. He's going to be on base, 37% of the time.
Yeah.
You could count on it.
Right. And when he would slump, you knew he would snap back with a hot streak. This year, it's taken a little longer. I remember that Dodgers series in 16 when he was struggling. Do you remember he borrowed a Caesar's bat? That was because he was in such a slump that he was using other people's bats. And then there he was in the game they win the pennant, hitting a home run to right field off Clayton Kershaw. And that crowd was going absolutely crazy. So, like, we're all going to be, you know, a point to where you're sad. I still think it makes that we're going to be sad anyway, so we might as well try and get some prospects for these guys and build up the system at least depth-wise here. Bobby in Orland Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, how you doing?
We're good.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, Sox fan. Yeah, I'm happy with it. I mean, everyone felt like they needed to get extra rental for second base, and I didn't want Frazier. I was glad we took care of the bullpen. Gave up literally nothing.
Yeah, that's the thing. And like a lot of people have said, Hernandez offers a lot. He's not a guy that you would have thought of, and not a guy that anyone really mentioned being on their radar. I don't know if that was because he played in the division. But he's been a guy, if you go through the stats, like, he's never been an eye-popping numbers guy, but he's always been consistently on base. He's always had somewhere between, like, 270 and 290. Very rarely is he hit for power, except for this year. Meller was talking earlier today that he got hot in a week or two where he had, like, 8 or 10 of these home runs. But still, and then to provide the defense, we've seen them kick it around at times this year, Waddle. And yes, to get someone on that infield who can play some defense, that will go a long way as well.
I just, like, for everyone who didn't want Javi, you know, and vehemently, you know, just they cringed at thought of it. Like, Hernandez is kind of the same player, at least this year, isn't he? Giving you a pop. The on-base percentage isn't great.
Right.
Javi's got more strikeouts. Good glove. Just kind of, you know, the same guy this year.
Put the numbers next to Escobar's numbers. They're similar. I think Escobar has a little bit more power, has provided more pop. But again, like Escobar, what was intriguing about him is he hit from the left side, and here you have a guy who hits from both. So,
right.
I think it's pretty similar, and it comes cheap. Kevin in Oak Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Kev?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Fantastic.
Fantastic. Good. I just, I was trying to draw parallels because I heard, I think it was Steve Starr mentioned the 06 Cardinals. I lived in St. Louis at the time, actually. They brought in Ronnie Belliard from Cleveland and Preston Wilson. They signed him later in the year, kind of like a bat off the bench type deal. And Ronnie threw, I think he was at shortstop at the time, filling in, or second base. Kind of reminds me of what the Sox need, and maybe a Javi Baez. I mean, I think that he would be a good fit. Definitely provide a spark in a lineup that, you know, and their slogan is, what is it again, the slogan this year? You know, they're trying to rechange the game and Fernando Tatis, all the, that stuff. So I think San Diego's doing it big, making big splashes everywhere. If the White Sox want to do that, I think it's a great idea.
So wait, let me get this right. Have I heard you right? You're saying that you still would want them to pursue Javi Baez?
Absolutely.
Where would he
play? San Diego's doing it with these big names. You want to put Javi in there, put him at second. You know, TA is a great shortstop. You can't move him. But
you
I
just
really
got
like
a second baseman. You just got a second baseman today.
Oh, who?
Cesar Hernandez from Cleveland.
You were busy earlier today. We get it. Life comes at you quick.
I was a little busy, but yeah, that's not, I don't know. That's not like a premier guy. You know, you think of Javi, I mean, that's a star. That's a guy that you're going to, you know, go deep in the postseason with. That's kind of my thoughts on that.
Well, I think the Javi Baez ship sailed when you traded for Cesar Hernandez.
Me too.
So,
yeah.
Listen, the only point I was making about it is they are a little, they're more similar than they aren't, at least in the 2021 season. And that's all I was saying.
Right,
I was referencing my desire to see that crosstown trade and the excitement that would have been created, but
thanks for the phone call, by the way.
You know, they've got their guy in Hernandez, and look, they got their guy in Teperin. I think that they're probably at another bullpen arm, but for the most part, I think Rick Hahn has shown you that they're not going to give up a ton, and they're going to ride with the group they have for the most part.
All right, so as Amir said, Free Ticket Friday was a huge success for him, the best seats he's ever sat in. Remember, Free Ticket Friday is tomorrow, starting at 7:45 in the morning, 45 past every hour. With all of our local shows, we will give away Sox tickets, as we will be doing that as well. We'll be giving them away tomorrow as well as we broadcast from Oak Forest Bowl. So join Waddle and me there. Big day. We've had two trades here, three if you count the Cubs and the Sox making the trade together. One from the Cubs, two from the White Sox, even though that was the same trade. We've had a blockbuster just drop in the NBA. We'll tell you about that. And there was also someone missing from Bears camp today. All that is, we'll recap everything you need to know going on today, coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, so we had trades today. Both the Cubs and Sox made another trade together. Ryan Tepera heads to the South Side now, after a couple good years on the north side. He'll fit nicely into that bullpen. We knew they needed at least one arm. I've been asking for two, and we'll see. Rick Hahn has about 22 hours here, just under. Trade deadline tomorrow at 3 o'clock Chicago time when we're going to be out at Oak Forest Bowl, so make sure you join us there. If not in person, at least on the radio. And the Cubs get a left-handed pitcher named Horn, who was around 21 to 23 on the rankings. So the Cubs make another reliever deal. They Chafin, I don't know if you saw this today. Did you see Chafin's tweet earlier today, Waddle?
I did not.
He's looking for a boat to live on in the Bay Area. He tweeted, remember they traded him to the A's, traded him for an outfielder. And another player, he tweeted, "All right, Athletic fans, I've got a challenge for y'all. I'm trying to find a boat to live on while I'm in Oakland. Something I can also take out fishing. Free tickets and a case of beer to anyone that could help me line something up." It's pretty cool.
So he wants to live on a boat, just like Sonny Crockett from Miami Vice.
Yeah, I guess so. It reminds me a little of Rod Beck. Remember when Rod Beck was pitching for wasn't he pitching in Iowa for the Cubs AAA team when he was older? And didn't he live out in the camper in the outfield?
I think he did. I think he did live in a camper.
Yeah.
Obviously, Sonny Crockett lived on a boat in Florida. This would be out in California.
Yeah, but
comparable.
Yeah.
Comparable.
There you go. So if you have any connections to a Bay Area boat, former
How's
Cubs
the plumbing?
Reliever.
Like, how's the plumbing on a boat like that?
Is it like a bus? I don't know. Is it like a bus?
My great aunt and uncle live on a boat in New York. It is not good.
That's what I was going to say.
Would it be like a Greyhound bus toilet? Is that that's what I'm picturing?
Yeah, I think that's a good comp. That's a good comp.
Yeah, but you don't. Yeah, but you don't have 150 people on board going to Des Moines. But
like,
it depends.
But it's true. But like, I'm thinking shower water pressure.
Oh, very
and. Getting things flushed?
Yeah.
I don't think I want to do that.
I'm picturing blue liquid in the toilet as well.
I struggle to be able to contain myself like in a house with like indoor plumbing and stuff. Like I sometimes I ruin that. I couldn't be on a boat like that.
White Sox also made a trade with Cleveland today. And Cleveland comes to town for a three-game series. The White Sox lead them by 8 games. Cesar Hernandez, their second baseman, now will play second for the White Sox. And then the trade situation going on right now with the Lakers. And the draft is tonight. And I want to read some of these Woj tweets. Woj says, the Lakers are near a deal to acquire Washington's Russell Westbrook for Kyle Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, KCP, and a 2021 first-round pick, sources tell ESPN. There's no agreement in place and work still to do on a Westbrook-Lakers deal, but talks with the Kings on a possible Buddy Hield deal has also been ongoing between the two teams.
Okay, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Everybody involved, because there's a couple basketball guys in there as well, with Chris and Tyler. Which is the better top three? LeBron, AD, and Westbrook, or KD, Harden, and Kyrie?
Nets.
Brooklyn.
Nets.
Yeah, Nets. Because they're younger?
They're also more skilled.
They're less Westbrook-y. That's what I would answer.
Yeah. Sylvie's right. Tyler's right. It's less Westbrook and shooting, which the three from Brooklyn can do, where the Lakers are going to have a major issue where teams are going to lay off Russ. The Lakers have done that in the past when they've played against Westbrook. You just let him shoot from three and he'll shoot you out of a game.
I can't picture that the LeBron-Westbrook thing goes well. I mean, LeBron likes to direct a lot of people, and I don't think Westbrook likes taking directions from anybody. That's just from me from afar.
Why wouldn't they be looking for someone that could space the floor and was a good three-point shooter? Why wouldn't that be the approach they were taking for the reasons you just mentioned, guys?
Well, they have been rumored in the last 24 hours linked to Buddy Hield, the shooting guard for the Sacramento Kings. And there are reports out there suggesting that this deal for Westbrook does not prohibit them from trying to make a Buddy Hield deal. But Buddy Hield would be the type
player
that would help with that, right? Hey, buddy,
sure,
it's Jesse.
Sure.
I'm ready to go.
Jesse.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe Jesse could break that story.
Jesse at 535, yes. By the way. Let's take some of these calls. Harding wanted to weigh in on this call on the trade, and then we've got a lot of White Sox and Cubs callers. We'll get to all these. Harding in Charlotte, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Harding?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Just a quick comment on the Russell trade. I don't know that that could have been a worse point guard to put with LeBron and KD. AD. So when you think about what Russell does as far as ball dominance goes and how Derek in Cleveland kind of melted out of the picture because of what the perception is of LeBron's ball handling, I don't know that it fits. And then Waddle mentions the stretching the floor piece. Like, the three-point situation for Russell isn't great either. And the psychology behind LeBron wanting to be a leader and then Russell just being a very stubborn athlete, it just doesn't sound like it's good. And in all honesty, I believe this is the trade that pushes LeBron to maybe retire a year or two earlier than he actually wanted to.
Really?
I don't see him leaving LA to go to another team, and I don't think he's going to continue playing, guys.
Yeah, but Harding also, wouldn't you suggest that there's not going to be, I mean, even more so than Aaron Rodgers getting Randall Cobb in a Packers uniform, there's not a deal that's going to be made without LeBron's approval, is there?
I think he's desperate, though, now. I think now they're trying to find that third piece. They know
well,
that
that's
they can't
fine, but I mean, like Harding was suggesting maybe that this would be a deal that would, I think, if I interpreted it incorrectly, please, let me know, but like this would turn LeBron off. I would think that pretty much any deal that
right,
is done
yeah,
is going
right
to be
now.
Run past LeBron, isn't it?
Right, right, right. Well, look, Harden and Westbrook wanted to play with each other in Houston at the start, didn't they? And it didn't turn out well. I feel like LeBron wants, I think this has been mentioned before, LeBron, I believe, wants to play in the league when his son's in the league. And I think they want to pull off the old Griffey thing. Remember when both Griffey Sr. and Griff Jr. played in the same outfield for Seattle? I think that's on his
mind.
That
is pretty cool.
It would be cool, yeah. And it's not as far away as you think it may be. I think it's like 3 years or something like that. Chris on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, fellas? I got a comment and a question. Comment is I like the Hernandez move because if he plays well for the rest of the year, you can pick up that option and you can wave goodbye to Leury Garcia. And the question is, as far as Trevor Story and Trey Turner, I don't know the specifics on their contracts after this year, but if they aren't moved by the deadline tomorrow, do you guys think that those are guys that the Sox could try to double back and maybe try to get in the offseason? Appreciate it. I'll hang up with
not bad.
Isn't Turner going to be a free agent at the end of the year?
I read the other day. I think he may have an extra year. Tyler, can you double check on that?
Story, I know for sure, is a free agent.
Yes, he is definitely a free agent. Double check on Turner, because I had heard the other day someone mention that he still has another year after this, but I was thinking that he was going to be a free agent too.
He gets another year of arbitration next year.
Okay, so there you go.
So he's in their control.
Yes.
Right.
I like where his head's at, too, about I believe Hernandez's option is like for $5 or $6 million. It's for very low money.
It's a team option, right?
Yes. And if he plays well for you, he could be kind of like a utility guy like Leury Garcia is for you right now. And that's
not a lot to pay.
Not a lot.
Especially because they have so many cost-controlled salaries.
Right, and Madrigal
players.
Comes back. Look, they still like Madrigal. Madrigal's like a .317 career hitter.
Yeah, you won't let them not start Madrigal at second.
You better believe it.
As the newest White Sox fan, I mean, you will not stand for that.
Don't say that to White Sox fans. I don't think they want me anyway, even though you're lying. Jay in Homewood, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jay?
Hey, man, I love the conversation with the Cubs. And Sylvia, I really appreciate you being open and honest about your feelings and about the Cubs. And, hey, you know, these guys are human, and I know they get paid a lot of money, a great deal of money. And sometimes with that, we forget that they are human. They put their pants on like we do, and they feel like we do. So, they've been stand-up guys. Even in the midst of uncertainty, these guys have been a class act, and that's to be commendable. But it is an emotional attachment that we have with Bias and Hayward and Rizzo and KB and and I like that. We define people oftentimes by dollars and cents, but we also have to define people by their emotions. And when you have emotions, to me, that indicates caring. And so I appreciate you, Sylvie, sharing that. I feel the same way, but I do know all good things have to come to an end.
Right.
But I know how they're leaving. They're leaving, in a class way. And so
It's rough, man, but, you know, we have to move on. We're an organization of business, but I do appreciate you, Silva, being open and honest about your feelings.
All these, yeah, you got it. And I look, I am open to closing the door right now and letting them all walk out that door. But every one of them I have good feelings about, even Chris Bryant, who many think I wouldn't. I remember many snapshot moments. I remember many clutch moments for Chris Bryant. I remember how the kid who was a can't miss didn't miss in the most pressurized two seasons in Cubs history. So they're all of these guys. It is time. We've run into the wall, that same wall, year after year after year with all these guys, and it's not good enough. And right now it's time to capitalize and get what you can for them.
Guys, it's not necessarily breaking news worthy yet.
Okay.
Jack Curry from the Yes Network just tweeted, the Yankees are moving closer to acquiring Anthony Rizzo from the Cubs.
Whoa.
So Jesse Rogers is coming up with you guys in 5 minutes. Maybe he'll have more details.
Do you think that this is a Boston play, maybe, perhaps? I wonder, did the Cubs float that out there to try to get Boston to step up a little more? Because who's Boston's rival? It's the Yankees. Like, I not heard that the Yankees could be a possibility.
I was just going to ask you, based on our last caller as well, someone who has strong feelings for all these guys, are you part of the group? And I know that there is a large group of Cubs fans right now that are a little bit hurt that they didn't get a chance. Would you have liked to have seen in a 7-4 game Chris Bryant pinch hit for Jason Hayward, I believe, who made the last out striking out?
Yes.
This is breaking news.
Did it just happen too? This better not be another Brad Hand thing.
For sports. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Ken Rosenthal is now confirming the Cubs have informed Anthony Rizzo he is being traded to the New York Yankees.
Wow.
So, Anthony Rizzo to the Yankees. After all the rumors with Boston, after a lot of people thought he wouldn't be traded at all, that he'd be the most likely member, the guy who started it, the guy who opened up the window, the guy who you only had him and Starlin Castro to look at and say, these are our two young guys, these are our future. And then him developing into the player and a dominant player and a guy who's won many gold gloves and a guy who's come through in many clutch moments. And just a guy that a lot of Cubs fans said put a C on his chest because he is as close to Jonathan Toews as anything that the Cubs had. The Anthony Rizzo era, for now, is over in Chicago. How do you feel about this? 312-332-3776. We're going to go live to Wrigley Field and get a report from Jesse Rogers. I'm sure Rizzo's going to have a press conference too. So we'll see when Jesse can pop on because he may have a Rizzo press conference. But let's talk about this. Anthony Rizzo dealt to the New York Yankees. We're back on Waddle and Sylvie.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
I got to admit, I'm a little more sad than I thought it would be. Anthony Rizzo has been dealt to the Yankees. You know, what I wrote, Waddle, on Twitter was he was the guy who started it all when they had nothing. Yeah, I remember when he stood up to the Reds and he wanted to fight the entire team and the Cubs sucked then. I think it was involving Chapman. You know, he was sent down to the minors with the Padres when he wasn't living up to what a lot of people thought he would be, bounced back from that. He had to deal with Dale Swayman as his manager. Think about the guiding light he was for many people who battled cancer. He himself did that. And then the man ultimately became one of the biggest Cubs legends to ever walk through this town, Anthony Rizzo.
And he may be back. You don't know. I mean, he may be one of these guys that goes to the Yankees. You know, Jed says to him, look, this is best for the organization, and we're going to keep the door open, and maybe they come to the conclusion that they will reunite, as you know, in free agency hits, and it would happen if it was a team friendly deal, as we've discussed quite a bit. I would say to you as well, I think that the reason why you reacted the way you have, and there will be thousands of other Cub fans who feel the same way, is it wasn't just the baseball stuff. Like, Anthony Rizzo has been part of this Chicagoland community doing great things with people facing adversity for a very long time.
Right, with the cancer charities, with all the kids, what he did to his high school, with his high school, when they went through the tragedy of Parkland. Let's bring in Jesse Rogers, who's covered Anthony Rizzo every step of the way, who is at Wrigley Field today, who is hoping that Anthony Rizzo would get one more at-bat, one more pinch hit, one more standing ovation at Wrigley Field. That didn't happen, though. Jesse, how surprised are you with the news that they had involving the trade with the Yankees and Rizzo?
A little bit. I got misdirected by Yankee scouts this week. Listen to this. Early in the week, there were two Yankee scouts here, and they were asking me Chris Bryant's best position, left field, third base, or center field. And so I gave them some detailed reports on Bryant. Did not know they were here to see Rizzo. You never know with these things. The trade deadline always brings up some surprises. It's not shocking the team when you look at the Yankees. They needed left-handers, and they went out and got a couple now, Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo. They're obviously going for it. So the team doesn't shock me, but just the fact that, I sort of got misdirected by these Yankee scouts. Maybe they were looking at both Rizzo and Bryant. So, it's something to swallow here. I didn't know something was up, but it was interesting that Chris Bryant had a bat, okay, and was ready to hit. So to me, if they're telling a guy to sit out, there's no way Ross would send Bryant up on deck in the ninth inning, right, if he's supposed to sit out. You know what I mean? Like I think the deal obviously was set with Rizzo, and there isn't a deal just yet with Bryant. Now, there may be by tomorrow, but I do think it's interesting that it's Rizzo who goes first when we all thought for 3 years now it would be Bryant, and that for a long time Rizzo would re-sign with the club before he got to free agency. But this is what happens. You just never know. Surprises happen. And I guess him not starting and not even coming close to an at-bat today kind of was telling that there was something in place with Rizzo and the Yankees.
Any word on what the Cubs will get back from the Yankees, Jess?
I mean, it's not a lot from what I hear. It's a prospect. It's not going to be some top end sort of guy, but it, that's all I know is it's a prospect. I'm not sure if there's two involved, but it's not going to be like the Yankees' best prospect or anything like that. He's not having a great year, but he did hit home runs in three consecutive games when the Yankee scouts were here. And in that short porch, he might do well at Yankee Stadium. And I also think there's probably a hot streak in him. He was hitting well in general this last little while. But they're not going to hit some sort of grand slam with this prospect. I don't know what the name is yet.
Yeah, Jesse, do you think that this – a lot of talk has been about to Chris Bryant. Hey, if they trade you, would you still come back? And you pointed out to me on and off the air that, look, if a deal was to be made with Chris Bryant, it would have already been happening over the last 3 years. They've not gotten close to a deal. At least Rizzo and the Cubs were talking about a deal. We've discussed his value, and I don't know what that's going to be. But what do you think about Rizzo being traded and the possibility of him returning?
Much better chance than Chris Bryant. Much better. Now, the numbers are going to change, right? He has not had the best of years. I guess if he gets hot, it's a different story. I don't think he's leaving on terrible terms. But look, none of these guys, I think, are in love with the Cubs front office or ownership right now. None of them wanted to really play for a contract. Players hate that. Lester hated it. Rizzo didn't want to do it either. It distracts you from your task. Of course, the other side of the coin is, look, it's the big leagues. You have to play for your contract. So my point is, I think that the calculus has changed. I think his camp understands that, unless he gets really hot and is Mr. October for the Yankees. But I think they understand that he's lost some money this year, barring something crazy. So, yes, I think it would be in the cards. But Jed and Ricketts at this point, they're not going to extend themselves to sign Anthony Rizzo. They didn't do it beforehand. They're certainly not going to do it when 29 other teams can bid on him. So my point is, I still think once a guy leaves, it's kind of doubtful who he returns. But Jason Hamill did. It's not out of the realm of possibility with Rizzo. I don't think it's happening with Bryant in any capacity, though.
I would assume, Jess, that Kimbrel will go, that Chris Bryant will go. I'm personally not so sure about Javi. Do you believe that all three go, or do you think Javi is still the one most likely to be around when this all clears at the end of tomorrow?
Yeah, I think Javi's going to be around. I think he probably wouldn't have played today on a bad heel if he was going to be traded. So I do think Javi is going to stick around. But I guess you could sort of say all bets are off. If Anthony Rizzo is traded, anybody can be traded. The Kimbrel thing, I told you earlier in the week, I thought it'd be done by like Wednesday, but Scherzer entering the market slowed down Kimbrel. It's simple as this. The team that loses out on Scherzer is probably going to go after Kimbrel a little bit harder. It's either shorten the game from the front end, meaning a starter, or on the back end. So if the Pods get Max Scherzer, I think the Dodgers really go after Kimbrel. So that's what's holding that up a little bit. Bryant's interesting. I still think it's the Mets. There's also that chance he stays. We're down to the last, you know, half a day here. And like I said, he was ready to enter the game. So I don't think there's a deal done. As far as I know, he's going to get on the plane tonight. This is as of moments ago regarding Chris Bryant. So let's see if something changes before, you know, they're going to Washington, which is where I'm going as well, to see what the final moments of this trade deadline is going to look like tomorrow. But, yeah, I think Bryant's gone, and I think it's going to be the Mets. But, look, after this Rizzo thing, there's always surprises. So I guess we got to see how this plays out.
Is there going to be a press conference today with Rizzo here? Or is he off to New York quickly?
Nothing that I know of. Nothing that I know of. It'd be pretty unusual if he did. They already did their post-game stuff with Ross and everybody and the media, you know, I'm on my way home and on the way to the airport. So I don't think so. I'll probably do his first media thing with the Yankees, unless they do something special because it is Anthony Rizzo. But it is kind of sad he didn't get that final bat. But you never know. I mean, look, it's great to do something for the fans, but if there's a deal in place, one swing can change it, right? An oblique, a hamstring, whatever. Maybe you just have him go up there and take three pitches. I don't know. But it'd be nice to have done it for the fans, but those things just don't happen as nice or whatever as we like, because the other team is a little concerned about the health of the player they're getting.
All right. Great stuff, Jesse. We appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Jess. I'll talk to you maybe tomorrow from Washington.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, for sure. We'll do that again. I want to give you a couple of under-the-radar stories. We all have moments with Anthony Rizzo that we remember. I mentioned earlier the Clayton Kershaw home run. That's a high-profile moment. There are a couple of lower-profile moments that I will always remember about Anthony Rizzo. Waddle, I know you will remember one of them because we were together when this all went down. I want to share that with you coming up next.
This hour brought to you by your Chicagoland Acura dealers. Visit your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealer today to learn more about the all-new Acura TLX.
Waddle and Sylvie are with you as you return to the office, just like that annoying coworker that always talks about their cat. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, it's a pretty big deal. Anthony Rizzo has been traded from the Cubs to the Yankees. And the Cubs are getting two decent prospects, Waddle. One, I believe, ranked in the top 10 and another one ranked 12th. And the big details here is, and a lot of people wanted to see, would Ricketts step up, you know, with the money situation? Because when you cover the player's salary who leaves, you get the better prospect. Like, why trade them? You're already on the hook to pay them to begin with. And if you're going to get less of a prospect, why trade them then? Because then you're not helping your team. And the point is to make the trade to help your team. So indeed, according to Ken Rosenthal and Jack Curry from the Yes Network, the Cubs are picking up the entire $6 million for the rest of the season on Rizzo's salary. And that's why they're getting these two prospects, Alcantara and Vizcaíno. So
that's surprising to me as well that the money was an incentive to give away more of your good prospects for a team like the Yankees, but good for the Cubs.
Yeah. So tell us really quick. One's a pitcher, one's an outfielder, right, Tyler?
Yeah. One. Let me pull it up real quick. We've got Alexander Vizcaíno, a pitcher, and then Kevin Alcantara, an outfielder.
And Vizcaíno's the top 10 guy, and Alcantara's 12.
Yep.
So. Look, the Cubs are trying to do more with their farm system. Look, there are so many moments. I mentioned like one under-the-radar moment earlier that I mentioned is when Rizzo was young and he challenged the entire Reds dugout. And it was just like a time where you knew, okay, this guy is going to be a leader of your team. And then he backed it up with the production, which was hugely important. Then there were the high-profile moments, like to win the pennant in Game 6 at home against the Dodgers for the first time since 1945, hitting that home run off of Clayton Kershaw, one of the best pitchers of this era. But like, here's a couple more. One is, I'll never forget the end of the season. I believe it was 2019. The Cubs were fading in September. They were dealing with a lot of issues. And then he goes down with a horrible ankle injury. And it looked like it, like one of these high ankle sprains that was going to put him out for several weeks. And didn't he come back like the day or two after he did it? And we were at a bar. I believe we were at the Rambler. And we were getting these updates where it's like Rizzo now all of a sudden is on the field and he's jogging a little bit. And we're like, what? And then all of a sudden, there it is. Anthony Rizzo has been put in the starting lineup. And then not only did he play, Waddle, but in that like next week or next few games, he raked. And we're like, how is this dude doing it when his team needs him the most? When he has this significant ankle injury and can barely run, he was still finding a way to get on that field to try to save his team that was fading down the stretch.
Yeah, it was quite impressive, and it wasn't something that either of us, I think, was expecting to happen.
And then the other funny moment, I believe it came from one of the books. I think it was from Tom Verducci's book that we always joked about. When the Cubs were down 3-1 in the World Series to the Cleveland Indians, Rizzo, when the locker room was, you know, was getting ready for Game 5, and here they are, like, with their backs against the wall, this long journey could come to an end, like, before the game, got up, like, just in his jockstrap or something, or was he completely naked? And he turned on the stereo and put Rocky on. And he's in the middle of the Cubs clubhouse shadow boxing like he's Rocky, naked. And they win. And then he does it again before Game 6 in Cleveland, naked, in the middle, Rocky music, and they win. And then in Game 7, right before the game, he goes up, does the same thing, and one of their relievers, I think it was Rondon. Yeah.
Yes. Sprayed his junk with shoe polish, right?
Yes. He ruined the vibe. Game 7 of the World Series, Rizzo doing this with the superstition to take the pressure off his team. And what does Rondon do? He sprays his junk with shoe polish. Yeah. Rizzo gets pissed. Rizzo's upset. He goes back to his locker. Yeah, David Ross goes over to him and says, dude, we need you. You gotta go back up there and you got to do it. And they turn the music back on. Shoe polish and all.
And he
did it, and the Cubs won it.
These aren't loafers, my friend. These are my marbles. Okay?
Right. I know I got a pair, but they're not a pair of shoes.
Yeah. Now, look, I will say this, too. As a non-Cubs fan, I know this hurts for a lot of people. This is the right decision by the organization. As much as he has given to all of you, this was the right this was the right move for Jed, especially hearing what they got back, which was a couple of top 15 prospects.
Yeah.
And you may get Rizzo back in free agency.
A couple of things to do. We got the screwball sign-off. We have $200, not 50, not 100, not 150, $200. Where is this two guys? Is
Murphy's
it Murphy's?
Bleachers.
Legendary yep. Murphy's Bleachers. We love those guys over at Murphy's. $200 courtesy of Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. A night with Screwball.
Bound to get a little nutty.
Right. What caller would you like,
caller
Tyler?
Caller number 20.
Caller 20 at 312-332-3776. Is Cap on the line, too?
He's got tears in his eyes.
Oh, there you go. Cap, I wasn't sure if you were there or not. We're broadcasting from home. But when you think Anthony Rizzo, you think about his Tuesday's appearance with you. You think about the relationship you two have had for years. What was your thought when you heard that Rizzo was getting dealt to the Yankees?
So I found out at the exact same moment, because I was on the phone with him, with Anthony Rizzo's agent. He did not know. That's a true story. I was standing in my kitchen, and I'm on the phone with his agent, and we're talking about these rumors, blah, blah, blah. And at the same exact moment, we both looked at the computer, and I heard him go, "Oh, God." I said, "Ken Rosenthal." "Yep." "Nightingale." "Yep." "Heyman." "Yep." And he said, "I got to go." He had not talked to Jed all week, Anthony had not, and I said to him before he hung up, the day off today, was that because of the trade deadline? He said, as God is my witness, Anthony said on Monday, I'm taking Thursday off because they had a day off Monday after the National Series this weekend. So don't be alarmed. I'm not playing on Thursday. And I said to him, could he have gotten an at-bat in there? And he said, I got to go. Let me just tell you, that deal was probably done 2 hours ago. So that's probably why you didn't see him get an at-bat.
Hmm. Cap, do you believe that Anthony Rizzo would be willing to come back even though he got traded to the Yankees?
I do. I don't think they're going to bring him back. I do not think they want to bring him back.
So you think that, and I know we got Black here coming up here in 2 minutes, you think that they're cut, this could be it, period, for Anthony Rizzo in Chicago?
Yes. Do I think if they called him back and offered him money and he had this great run with the Yankees for 3 months, would he do it? Yes. I think they're moving on. I think they're ripping the Band-Aid off and they're moving on.
All right. Cap, we'll get more tomorrow at 7 a.m. with you and Jay Hood. Also, a free ticket Friday.
I'm hoping to hear from Anthony tonight to try and have him on the show tomorrow for a goodbye. So I'll let you guys all know.
Yeah, you're blocked now, I think. I think now that he's heading to. I think Michael Kay will get him on tomorrow, Cap. I'm kidding.
Ouch.
There goes.
You're gonna have to have another drive.
He's kidding.
You guys are trying to come together over one of your favorite players of all time, and you guys still are sparring.
All right, Chris, you're coming up here, and we'll have much more on this. All the deals the White Sox made two, but now the big news that broke this hour is that Anthony Rizzo has been traded for two prospects to the New York Yankees, and we still have time for more trades to be made. The deadline is 3 o'clock tomorrow. We'll be all over it as we broadcast live from Oak Forest at Oak Forest Bowl. Make sure you're with us with Miller Lite. It's going to be one of those great days when lots of stuff happens. So see you tomorrow at Oak Forest Bowl. Thank you to Chris Black, Tyler Aki, for Waddle. I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Thursday night.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all, and to all a good night.